All right, I'm here with Christopher Lee Maher. He is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL, best-selling author, and now holistic wellness pioneer. Christopher, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, man. I'm glad we had a little time to chit chat before we started the show because we're definitely on the same vibe. And I'm here to serve. And any question you have, I'm open and transparent. So I definitely want to get after it and give people some information and some inspiration so that they can take heartfelt action to their own benefit.
Yeah, I do not get that from you completely. And I'm excited too, because when people think of Navy SEAL, everyone is now thinking David Goggins, Jocko. You think of all these guys that are really bringing out this big alpha bravado kind of bigger than life persona. And here you are. I just get this sense of calmness, like been there, man, done that. And you have such a different way, I think, of doing things. So I'm excited to jump into that and really how that transpired for you, because I'm sure it was a journey from pain to purpose. And so I'd love to just kind of hear, how did that happen? How did you transition from the SEALs to now, you were some, what I would think people probably call you is this woo-woo kind of like holistic wellness practitioner. Like, how did that all happen?
Well, I mean, initially, really, I'm basically a scientist, right? The way that my mind works is I have to find things that are credible, and everything has to be repeatable and verifiable in order for me to talk about it, right? In order for me to actually share it with someone else. So my introduction into wellness and leaving the SEAL teams and moving into the holistic realm was developed through pain. And I sort of like what you said, from pain to purpose. And my pain became my purpose. There's nothing more debilitating or annoying for someone who's a high performing athlete than to be dealing with discomfort, right? Like everybody has their dreams, everybody has their wishes, how they would like their life to turn out. And then when pain comes in, that changes everything. Okay, so let's take like a woman who we thought for sure would go to the Olympics and crush it. And she ended up losing her ability to figure out where she was in space. And she did something at the Olympics that nobody ever did. She withdrew from all of her events, right? And this is a gymnast, okay? And when you're put up against the wall and you have to make a decision. Sometimes you have to make the decision that's unpopular relative to your goals. And I had to do that. I had to literally stop doing everything that I was doing in the way that I was training. And I had to put my body back together. Because, see, when I went into SEAL training, nobody ever told me that there was a cost. I wasn't thinking that way. Like, oh, well, there's going to be a cost eventually, and you're going to have to pay the piper for your choices to be freezing cold every day, to put a massive amount of tension and stress into your joints, into your muscles, into your bones, into your ligaments, into your tendons. And to be honest with you, it's not like I had a terrible diet, but relative to how I eat now, it's a very big difference. And so I had to pay the cost. It's like, let's say you're a programmer, right? And you're sitting at your computer 16 hours a day. If you do that for 6, 7 years, there's going to be a cost. One day you're going to bend over to tie your shoe, and one of your discs is going to slip, and it's going to be pushing up against the nerve, and you're going to have unrelenting back pain for a very long time until you pay the piper, until you remove that accumulated tension and stress and distortion. And so when I look back, would I change things? Ignorantly, I used to say, no, I wouldn't change a thing. The reality is, I definitely would change some things. Rather than going out and partying all night when I was in the SEAL teams, what I would have done is I would have went to bed early, I would have got up, and I would have stretched, right? I would have spent some time taking out tension and distortion. I would have went and found a chiropractor. Yet, when you're in that SEAL team mindset, you have to understand, it's like we go hard and you never bitch, you never moan, and you never complain. right? Because no one around you is bitching, moaning, or complaining. It's just subconsciously it's understood in that environment. You shut your mouth and you move forward and you deal with the task at hand. And if you've got some discomfort, who cares? Because you're a man. And real men, they put their chin to the grindstone. They never bitch, they never moan, and they never complain. And so I had that SEAL team mindset. And then when I got out of the SEAL teams, I took that mindset into track and field. And now I'm training and I'm never thinking about the cost. Because guess what? Initially, I don't have any pain, I don't have any discomfort. But then as you keep churning the miles, right, you keep putting in the training, you keep going hard. And I only had one speed. My speed was we go hard every second. And if I die halfway through practice, meaning I completely fall apart, who cares? I'm going to pick it up the next day and I'm going to go hard again. And now when I look back over my life, I think, wow, when was I the most successful? I was actually the most successful when I went semi-hard at practice. Okay. I picked my days where, like, today, I really feel like putting it in versus tomorrow, I feel like relaxing a bit because I really put it in hard yesterday. And so when I went to SEAL training, SEAL teams, I lost my gauge between how do I feel today and how much effort should I give based on how I feel today. I only had one marker. One marker was 100% all day, every day at everything I do. So whether I was playing gym rummy, if I was playing basketball, if I was going for a run, if I was swimming, if I was surfing, whatever I was doing, it was 100%. And I never was checking in with my body to see, hey, is this good for you? Are you cool with this? Because eventually my body fought back and it said, look, screw you. I'm going to put so much pain in your body, you're going to be stuck laying down all day. And that's what happened.
Okay, I love that you're saying this because I've been dying to ask you this. Because obviously, you've gained this wisdom. You've come out of that. You've seen, like, you know what? There was probably I could have done better. I could have gauged. I could have built in that resilience, and taken times of rest and taken times of pushing hard and going back and forth. When we look at someone like David Goggins, who's like broken every bone in his body and then he just duct tapes it and keeps running. There's something alluring about that. And I think a lot of us, we're on the opposite. Most of us are on the opposite spectrum where we need that kick in the ass. We need David Goggins in our life. But when I see David, I think some of it's ridiculous also. I think, like, dude, I love what he's doing in the world and what he's bringing into the world, but I also worry about him because I worry that he'll be gone and dead before we all get to really cherish him even longer because his heart can only take so much. He goes to the extreme so much. Do you worry about David Goggins too?
No, that no, never. The reason why I have very little worry for David is because he's continued to grow through his pain and his discomfort. Like if you look at some of his videos now, what he talks about is, hey, when I get done with my day and I'm going to sit back and watch TV, whether it's basketball or some other kind of game or something he's interested in, he spends 2 hours stretching at night. Where before that wasn't occurring, right? He was just going hard. And so, even though he's taking those yang masculine activities at night, he's putting in that yin feminine energy, which is restoration. And so now he has an expression of his goals, and he has an unrelenting will. And now he's doing things in a smarter way. And so, guys in the SEAL teams, what I will say about this is they will make mistakes and they will eventually grow from those mistakes and they will figure out the things that they need to do to continue to keep honoring their goals and their desires and their dreams and their aspirations. And so, he is really here for a subset of people. And what I mean by that, the people who he's here for are the people who are. How do I say this? They have a low self-esteem, right? And people who struggled when they were younger to find their own identity, and he's found his identity. You know, if you look at how his weight ballooned up and how he got really committed, for him, he has to stay focused that way, because if he lets go of the identity that he created, the risk is he could go back to the person that he was. And so I can see the limitations in that kind of thinking. Yet, for people who are really struggling, have no sense of their own identity, are unwilling to build deep levels of self-esteem, he's a very good motivator and inspirer and someone that they can lean on, because he's doing what he says. Meaning, he does what he says and he says what he does, right? So for me, he's congruent. And I think if you're going to put a message in the world, the most important thing is congruency. And you know, when you look at Jocko, Jocko operates the same way. You know, if you look at his book, the name of his book is Extreme Ownership, right? And so what we're saying is these guys are willing to push the edge. And in doing so, they believe in the model that they've created to know who it is they are. And so I can get behind somebody like that. I'm extreme, except my extreme is towards wellness, right? So I never eat sugar. I never eat caffeine. I never drink caffeine. I never eat caffeine. I never do nicotine. I don't do any pharmaceutical drugs. I don't do any recreational drugs. I don't do food colorings. I don't do preservatives, right? I haven't had any of that stuff in my body in like in 20 plus years. Okay. So in that way, you could look at me and go, oh, he's extreme too. But the thing about guys in the SEAL teams is once we have information and once we figure things out, we're willing to honor the beliefs that we've created, even sometimes if it's to our detriment, yet we're at least congruent with our message. Okay. And so if you look at me on another extreme end, right, I am receiving, right, healing integrations, growth sessions, a minimum of 5 to 10 times a week. Right. So I'm going to see my acupuncturist. I'm going to see a body worker. I'm going to see an energy worker, because for me, growth is the most important thing. We go about it in different ways, and yet I can honor and respect who they're here to inspire. I mean, I'm different than Jocko. I'm never waking up at 4:44 in the morning. I'm different, Dave. Dave, I'm never getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go for a run, because that's what we did in SEAL training. And so for me, I transcended the SEAL team mindset, right? And I'm more basing things on, well, how do I feel today? Well, today, I think I would like to do this. Because the thing that I'm very focused on is helping people grow beyond their limitations physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, through the use of their language, whether that's verbal or physical body language, right? I'm looking at all details, right? And yet, those guys, again, they're here for a subset of people who are struggling with commitment to their own vision. And I'm very focused on my vision, and I'm focused on becoming the message rather than being a messenger, right? And so Jocko is his message. David is his message. I am my message. That is where we are succinct and aligning to the same principles that we learned and the same values that we learned in the SEAL teams.
That makes total sense. Okay, fast forward, you have like debilitating pain. You're on the verge of a hip replacement. Your vision is starting to fade away. You have to read
Oh,
people's lips.
for
All of a
sure.
sudden you've got, it sounds like you got this catastrophic, illness. And the next thing I hear, you're off to Thailand studying with grandmasters. Catch us up. How did that all like transcend, and how did that happen?
Well, how did that happen? Life is funny, right? So here I am. I'm teaching a women's night class for fitness. I ran a business before called Fitness Fanatics, okay? And I'm coming from my girlfriend's house from OB, Ocean Beach in San Diego, and I'm driving to class. And I'm at a stoplight, and this guy who was feeling nostalgic decided to buy a car from like the 60s, which was his same car that he had in high school. Well, he got the braking system incorrect. He flies down this really steep hill. I'm sitting there in my car. I have no idea he's coming. And I wake up and he has flipped my car into a telephone pole. And then I have to go to the hospital. And I wake up the next day and all the pain is now in the very center of my hip. So it means no matter what I'm doing, I can't get away from it. So what I do is I stop lying to myself, like meaning I realize that my limiting belief that you just move through things and things will be okay is not going to work this time. So I reach out to a buddy of mine and he comes over to my house, guy I used to be in the SEAL teams with, and he teaches me a little bit of yoga, and he brings a juicer and a yoga mat. And he starts educating me, and then he tells me about Rolfing and these other different forms of body work. And he suggests that I research someone who can possibly help me out. And so, between the switching to the juicing and the wheatgrass and the daily stretching, plus having somebody work on my body, on my what you would call connective tissue health, okay, your fascia. I then began to see little changes in my discomfort. And then I kept asking the next person, hey, do you have somebody else that you could send me to? So basically, I worked and spent every bit of resources that I had on putting myself back together. So I work and then I work on myself. I work on myself, then I let others work on me. And so my whole day was filled with health and wellness because I'm the type of person that once you show me that left is going to produce a better result, I'm done turning right because right no longer makes sense. There's no need to convince me. Like, show me that this is going to make me feel better, think better, behave better, and I will adopt that way of being because I want to be effective, right? For me, it's about impact.
Okay, so now you've got the health bug. Things are you're healing yourself. What made you go to Thailand? I'm curious, and study with the grandmasters. And from that experience, what did you walk away with? Was what did you learn from the grandmasters that they are doing completely different than we are doing over here in the Western model?
Well, I was in medical school at the time, and a buddy of mine, Dave, put this sheet inside of my student folder. And it was about this process called the dark room retreat. And as soon as I read that, I got a really strong guttural response. And I said, okay, I need to do this. I have no idea what this thing is, right? So here I am. I show up for this event. It's 28 days in complete darkness, zero photons of light. Like if you open your eyes and you stare at your hand for 5 days, you will see nothing, right? Like complete absence of light. And, it's also suggested that you're quiet, right? So here I am in complete darkness, doing these meditations that I never heard of before. And I'm in there practicing literally 18 hours a day, 18 hours a day for 28 days straight on my breath work, on these new forms of meditation, taking tension and stress out of my body, praying like 28 days, eating the highest quality food. He's got us on the highest quality supplements. And, that changed my whole reality because then I understood that, whoa, there's a whole other aspect of reality that's outside of my frame of reference. Like I went to a boarding school. I was raised on basically on a dairy farm, right? I got like dairy farmer work ethic, Because cows, you got to milk them on Sunday. You got to milk them on Christmas. You got to milk them on Thanksgiving. There's no days off on the farm, right? And so when I went into that experience, it was the counter of what I was raised with. It's like sit in stillness. Don't move. Sit here and meditate. And look, I tried meditation before. I'm the type of guy, I like active meditation. It's like I like to vacuum the house. I like to do the dishes. I like to, fold my clothes. Those are all meditative practices for me. But to sit in complete darkness for 28 days and to be in that state for 16, 18 hours a day, every day, was a really big shift and a big change. And that helped me walk away with a greater sense of stillness, a greater sense of presence, slow things down. So when I came back from that experience, basically all the friends that I had, they kind of disappeared. And then I would run into every one of them. I would run into someone every once in a while. And then they had a nickname for me called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Maher. Because they're like, dude, are you've turned into a monk, man. We can't find you.
You're meditating, you're juicing, you're doing yoga. Like, who is this guy?
Who is this guy? Like, where's the fun, partying, social butterfly? Like, I was like the mayor of San Diego. And now suddenly I'm on this monkish path. And it really worked out for me because it gave me the opportunity to get really focused on helping others. Right. So when I came out of that experience, I was no longer interested in what I could do to be seen by the world as someone who's valuable. What I shifted to is, what can I do to add value to this person's life that's sitting in front of me? And that was a big shift. And I've been on that shift ever since. Like, I've never gone back to the old way of doing things because it's uninteresting for me. Now, look, I'm still a normal guy. I love basketball. I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia Eagles fan. I'm a Penn State fan. Wrestling fan, like still a guy. I'm still a dude, okay? Yet the way that I operate in my life and the way that I'm focused is 100% committed to transformation, change, and growth. And if someone isn't in that direction with me, I'm no longer interested in spending time with them because time is the one commodity that I can never get back. And so I want to spend it being effective.
Now you've got this, now you've developed your own kind of like healing and coaching that you do through what you call a true body intelligence system. Talk about that and just how it works and what it looks like and why it's maybe different than what other people are doing out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very advanced. It's if I had an analogy or let's say comparison. You have a skateboard, which is where the transformational community is. And then you have the Starship Enterprise. I have created the Starship Enterprise. So basically, what True Body Intelligence is a suite of systems. Okay. And each one of these systems addresses a different layer of the person. The one thing that I learned that was very valuable studying traditional Chinese medicine is that for every human, there's different layers of a human, and you can never do the same thing for each layer. So, look, talk therapy is great, right? If I want to go find a counselor, if I want to find a coach, or if I want to find a psychologist or psychiatrist, great. I can sit down with someone and I can share the things that I've been through, but there's a ceiling. There's a place where talking any longer is never going to create any more resolution. You're never going to transcend going down this road any further. And then what I did is I got fortunate. I was lucky to run into some people who knew a few things. And then I took what they gave me and I saw their limitations. I saw where that what they were really good at and what they said they were great at, but absolutely not. Okay. Because I'm the type of person when I go into something, I jump into the deep end. I'm not interested in the shallow end. I don't care if it's cold, if it's miserable. I'm going into the deep end. I'm going to figure this thing out. And so true body intelligence is the birth of me spending 20 plus years focused 14 to 16 hours a day in the transformational field. So a person is physical. So I have a suite of systems to deal with their physical stress, tension, and distortion. Your emotional being. So I have systems to deal with the emotional body. Your mental being. I have systems to deal with the mental body. And you're an energetic spiritual being. And so I have systems that I've created to help you grow through that part of your system because everyone's different. Some people are physical, like me, Jocko, you, David Goggins. We're very physical, but some people are very emotional, right? And to take a very emotional person and only put them through physical things is one, it's going to be intimidating for them. And two, it's going to be easier for them to grow where they have confidence. And so, true body intelligence and my practitioners, because I train people in the things that I've created, they go into the world and they meet people exactly where they're at. And they use the system that's most appropriate for where the person is open. Like if I have the Surgeon General sitting with me, I'm going to have a very different conversation with him than I'm going to have with, let's say, somebody like David Taylor, who is a world and Olympic champion at 86 kilograms in freestyle wrestling. My approach is going to be different because different people have unique ways of functioning and growing, and you got to be able to meet that person where they're at. And so, because we have this suite of systems, we can always meet the person in the place where they're highly intelligent first, and then we can start developing the places where they lack intelligence. Like some guys are really brilliant in terms of their analysis, but emotionally, they're underdeveloped. Okay. Some people have a lot of really powerful physical intelligence. In terms of their spiritual intelligence, they're very underdeveloped. And so we want to look at the totality of where the person is at. But here's the beautiful thing. Their body always tells you where they're at. And so whatever their pain level, whatever their discomfort level, whatever their sensation level is informing me, is informing my practitioners where we could get started. Because I'm into hitting a grand slam. Going to first base is uninteresting for me, right? Once you develop yourself and you become masterful and you operate and produce at a grandmaster level, you want more complex cases. So I have very complex situations that people show up with, and my job is to get them to meet their desires, their wants, and their needs the fastest way possible. And then to teach them how to do that for themselves, because I'm allergic to codependent-dependent relationships. I want you to be interdependent. I have to eventually, now, guess what? Yes, right now you're starving. You have no way of feeding yourself. So your first meal, I'll take care of that. But your second meal, I'm going to teach you how to find that fish.
Yeah, dude. Okay, I love that. And so, on that note, and I'm just curious, I can tell it's very customized. This isn't a cookie cutter approach for anybody. One, though, is I come to see you. Does it need to be in person or do you do these virtually?
I mean, somebody who comes to see me, it's going to be much more effective if we are in person. But there's a very specific reason why for that. Because the brain, 99% of all humans, their brains are operating electrically out of a lateralized state of function. And so that means one hemisphere electrically is very strong. The impulse, the connection, the electrical charge, totally turned on. And then the other hemisphere of the brain, it's so-so. And so, no matter what, I got to get your body, brain, and nervous system out of fight or flight. Because once we get you out of fight or flight, your body will start its own healing process because it knows how to prioritize what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the first step. The second step
And so
is I
you do
have
that
to,
in person physically.
I
That's
do
what.
that in person physically.
Yep.
And
Okay.
then,
Cool.
secondly, physically, I have to turn on their emotional intelligence. The emotional intelligence is at the bottom of the body. Right, the top of the body is where all the analysis is, all the electrical charge. Well, guess what? The bottom of your body's magnetic. right? And humans are electromagnetic beings where electricity comes through the brain, the magnetism comes through the sexual organs, right? So there are specific muscles that affect those specific organs. As we start to remove tension and stress and start to strengthen that part of the body, now what happens is the brain, which in Chinese medicine they call the du, and the ren, which is the conception vessel, now the electric and the magnetic are totally connected. And when those two things are connected, that person's moving through the world feeling good, looking good, sounding good, behaving appropriately.
And that can, for Christopher, for you, I mean, how fast can that take place, that transformation where
Oh,
the
yeah.
body's back in line?
Oh, I mean, if we're only looking at that part
Yeah.
versus their emotional and their spiritual,
Yeah.
very, very, very quickly.
Very cool.
Very quickly. Yeah. I mean, you can tune someone in very fast.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna stay there because now these two are communicating. 99% of the people, your emotional brain and your analytical brain, there's a stopgap. There's a place where the communication is poor.
Yeah.
Once you turn those on, everything changes. Their whole reality changes, their focus changes.
Yeah. Really interesting too. And I mean, I don't know exactly all the things you're doing, but it's interesting, this idea that I've heard other people talk about, and there's like the book, The Body Keeps the Score, and this idea that emotions and pain and trauma gets trapped in the body, and that could be actually blocking you from having that alignment, that congruency that you're talking about, and you are able to figure it out, seek it, find it, and then remove it. And so I think that's just really cool, some of the modalities that you're implementing to jumpstart people so that there is that alignment. And when there's alignment, their frequencies, they're vibrating, and now they can actually do all the things that you're going to start, you know, I don't want to say program, but you know what I mean, give them the right input now to be
That's right.
successful.
Yeah, because as you get them in alignment, now what happens is the electrical charge and magnetic charge, those are meeting. But what most people have no idea about is that the ren and the du, the brain and the conception vessel, your sexual organs, they generate the electromagnetic force in your body. And their job is to feed the other 12 primary channels. Well, what are those channels? Lung, large intestine, stomach, spleen, pancreas, heart, small intestine, kidney, bladder, gallbladder, liver, pericardium, skin. So now all this energy that's circulating electromagnetically is filling up the places where I'm deficient. Okay. And so this is why supplementation and all these other things are band-aids, yet none of them are really what you would call fixes. Okay. Because the body knows how to fix itself if it has access to a high level or high amount of electromagnetic energy, then it can go in and it can do what it's designed to do, which is to restore and repair, to heal, to integrate, to grow and evolve. Without that, you're putting in a lot of energy, you're spending $100 and you're getting a penny's worth of value. And for me, when I look at the transformational community and world, look, you can read all the books you like, right? When you get that electromagnetic force moving through your body unencumbered, you transcend your shortcomings and your limiting beliefs because you're willing to take a risk and ask for help. And the moment you take that risk and you ask for help, you find a guy that's written a book who's an effective coach, you take someone else's guidance, that risk allows you to then have a new experience of who it is you are. And in that experience, now you've become a new version of yourself.
Yeah, dude, love that. And then typically, what is the structure if I come to work with you, and what would that look like? Do people usually work with you for 3 months, or is it all just kind of depend and what their goals are? And I guess in general, my next question on top of that is, how do people find you if they do want to work with you, or who are the type of people that typically seek you out?
I mean, I'll answer that question first. The people who typically seek me out are high performers, right? People who are at have some self-awareness, or they have someone in their life who has some awareness of them and is motivating them to take a risk. Okay. So athletes, CEOs, mothers who value their children, right? People who want to be effective in the world, those are the easiest people to work with because they're willing to do the work and they're willing to hold up the mirror and look at themselves and go, hey, I think there's something here that needs some attention, some affection, some care, some love. And they're willing to take that risk. When people take that risk and they come to see me, I see them for 5 days. I see them twice a day for 5 days. And then by the end, the fifth day is spent solely on teaching them. And now they walk away with a program, and then we stay tuned in. We check in every day for the next 3 months. Because people need to know, one, there's someone in their corner. Two, they're going to be a little confused, and they're taking a big risk, right? The risk is I'm changing who I am to become who I know I could be. Even though I have all the proof from my life that I don't deserve to have what it is I really want, that's a huge risk. And so, anyone who's willing to risk that way, I always take care of them. I stay connected to them because I care about people. I want them to have an opportunity to grow beyond their limitation and to actually have access to true transformation. At a physical, at a mental, at an emotional, at a spiritual, at an environmental level. All five of these have to be working in order for someone to be fully expressed at their potential. Without that, you're swimming around in the dark with a blindfold on, looking for for a warm beach.
No, that's great, dude. Okay. Yeah. No, I was just curious because what I really get from you is transformation. And so I'm assuming some high, you got to be a pretty high performer to work with you because you're not going to come find some, you're not looking for you if you don't want some massive change in something powerful to, and there's coaches out there that do something completely different, and that's great. And I'm happy for them, and they serve a certain audience. But that's why I really wanted to get that sense from you of like, who are the people that want to really work with you? So
Yeah, I
thank you.
mean, the people who really want are honest with themselves about what it is they really want in their life and are willing to go, I'm pretending here. I'm saying that I want this, and yet I'm unable to produce what it is I want as a life experience. And so for me, if I'm going to spend my time and energy and efforts on people, I want to be with people who really want to grow beyond their limitations. They want to be the best parents. They want the best life for their children. They want to repair their relationship with their parents. They want to have an amazing professional life. They want to be very effective and impactful. And mostly, they want to be happy, grounded, and present. If you want to be happy, grounded, present, and alive and joyful every second of the day, all day long, I'm your guy. If you want to dip your toe in the water to sort of, I don't know if this stuff is real, you should start out with somebody like David Goggins, right? Somebody like Jocko, right? And these guys are going to help you be consistent. And but when you really want that deep, unrelenting transformation and the most powerful life expression that you could be, you find me.
Yeah, love that. Dude, I want to wrap things up a little bit and ask you some final round questions, but before I do, any exciting projects that you're working on?
Any exciting projects that I'm working on? Let me think. I think the project this year until June 5th, I turn 56, right? So until I turn 56, the focus of my energy is on me. So I'm going back to the dark room experience. I'll be there in February for 3 weeks. I'm going back in the dark again. I want to focus on me because, my belief system is that in order for me to help someone grow beyond their limitations, I have to constantly be taking steps forward. So I want to spend 3 weeks focused on my meditation, on stillness, on growing beyond my limitations. So that is where my real focus is. I will be editing my second book, which will come out on September 11th, 2024. And I'm finishing up on my album and starting my second music production. I'm going to open up a record label, which I'm very excited about that. And I want to look into starting a shoe company for men.
Sounds like you're not that busy. Okay, I'm glad I asked you that question. Sounds like you don't have much going on. No, very cool. I'll have to have you back on when when that second book drops too. I'd love to have you back on and we'll chat about
Okay.
that.
That would be
Assuming you're
great.
not in a dark room or something, you have no Wi-Fi, but otherwise
Okay.
you're coming back on for round two. I can't wait. Dude, let's wrap it up. I'll ask you some final round questions and then where people can find you. But before I do that, just anything I didn't ask you that you wish I had.
Well, you wanted to ask me about precognitive adolescent imprints.
Yeah, I know, one of the things you've talked about is these subconscious stress imprints. And I think I know what you're saying, but someone else out there might hear the word precognitive subconscious stress imprints and just roll their eyes and be like, "Come on, Christopher, like, are you serious? Like, that sounds like a bunch of woo-woo stuff you just made up."
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that what they know is from womb to 13 years old, the charge on the water molecules in every cell of your body is negative. And what that means is you're a complete receptive vessel. And in that receptivity, you pick up the unconscious and subconscious stress patterns of who's ever in your environment. So let's say you were raised by your aunt and your uncle, or you're raised by your mom and your dad, whatever their limiting beliefs are. Those are being imprinted on you constantly. The difference here is between womb and seven, you're even more of a receptive vessel because you're completely dependent on the people around you. So let's say your father comes home, he's had a difficult day, him and your mom are getting loud in the kitchen. Those shock waves from them raising their voices are coming in and creating imprints into your nervous system. And then what happens is this child between womb and seven starts making up things about reality that are false. So they could be raising their voices because they're excited about this thing that's going to be happening, but the child doesn't know that, right? And so children have to make up things about reality. So these imprints, they cause our nervous systems to either go into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And as we keep making up things about reality that are false, we then as adults have to do what? We have to honor our subconscious imprints. And so you'll have a guy that comes to you for coaching and you're giving him all the great advice and he's unable to take that advice and produce the result, even though he knows at an emotional level it's a deep desire of his. Well, when you start venturing back into the first 7 years of their life, you're going to find out that they made up things about reality that were false in relationship to their parents. And so now, as an adult, they're honoring the limitations of their parents' belief systems, their parents' insecurities, their parents' fears, and their parents' confusions about reality. And now this child, whose water molecules have changed their charge at 13 years old into positive, is now an initiating agent. The challenge is they're initiating from a place of their unconscious and subconscious stress patterns and all those limiting beliefs that they picked up and all the fake things about reality that they made up will eventually turn into pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, energetic pain, and psychological pain. And we know this is true because we have an intense amount of mental illness throughout the entire globe. We have an intense amount of physical disease throughout the entire planet. We have an intense amount of energetic deficiency all over the planet, and we have a tense amount of spiritual deficiency all over the planet. The question is, where does it come from? It comes from the first 7 years of imprinting from your environment.
Yeah, well said. And everything you're saying has actually been backed up by neuroscience and a ton of other psychology. So even if anybody's out there thinking, I don't know if I still believe that, what he's saying is absolutely right. I never heard about the water molecules and that positive charge, so I love that. I'm gonna have to learn more about that. But everything what you're talking about is completely backed up by psychology and neuroscience. So I love that, man.
Yeah, man, for me, it's like it has to make sense. It needs to be simple. I'm someone who believes in Occam Razor's principle. Given, three different forms of information, the one that's the most simple is most likely the one that's the most true. But here's the beautiful thing. Neuroscience, yes, they're backing up everything that I'm saying, but here's the one thing that I've figured out that nobody else has figured out. I have figured out how to remove those epigenetic markers that cause you to continue to keep those behaviors going back a minimum of 14 generations. So you're no longer honoring the limitations of the beliefs, the insecurities, the fears, the pains, and the struggles of your forefathers, of your parents, of your grandparents, so that you can then live the life that you were destined for. That's what true body intelligence is for. And that's why those suite of systems are here.
Yeah. And that takes place, by the way, on those first 5 days.
Yes, in those first 5 days.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. That's amazing. That's a game changer.
That's a total game changer, man. That's, I mean, total game changer.
Yeah. And I like what you said too. Like you can read all the books, you can do all the stuff. You will change a little bit, but unless those impediments get removed, it'll only do so much.
Yeah, and
So
you got to
only
remember, you use the word change. Remember, change is mental. Okay. You've got physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. But remember, in terms of transformation, there's four forms of transformation. There's change, there's transformation, there's transmutation, and there's transfiguration. Okay? And the missing components in the transformational community is transmutation and transfiguration. Yeah, anyone can change. You can change your mindset, right? Okay? You can transform your environment. But you have to learn how to transmute and to transfigure. And this is the thing that makes my work unique. No one on a planet understands transmutation or transfiguration. And once you add in those two components, your ability to grow has no limitation. It literally has no limitation.
Very cool. Wow. Awesome stuff, dude. A couple of last final round questions and we'll wrap it up. If that's all right with you.
Yeah, it's all good, brother.
Yeah, man. In your life, I'm just curious, any choices was there a choice or choices that you think that you made that made you who you are today?
Oh, I think the thing that makes me unique is sort of what I mentioned earlier in the interview, is I'm willing to shift my whole strategy if you can show me something that's more effective. And I can leave all the limiting beliefs that I've created behind in 0.2 seconds. And I've always been willing to do that. I get a guttural response. And if the universe puts something in front of me and says, hey, go do this, I'm willing to take that risk. But I think the most important thing that I did is I reached out and then I admitted that I needed help to a friend. And that was probably the riskiest thing that I did. And without that friend, you and I wouldn't be here today. I most likely might have or I may already be dead. But because I was willing to take a risk and ask for help, my whole reality changed.
Yeah, I love that. Wow. I'm a big reader, and I know you mentioned reading earlier on, but is there a top 1 to 3 books that had a huge impact on you that you'd say you should go out and read these? It might change your life.
Yeah, I mean, the first three books that really got me going, the first one was The Celestine Prophecy. Okay. The second book was Way the Spiritual Warrior by Dan Millman.
That's a
And
great
the
book.
third book was Mutant Message Down Under by Marlo Morgan. Those are the three books that sort of got me started.
Awesome. Well, I'm so happy. I'm so glad you didn't read, you didn't tell me Think and Grow Rich, because I feel like everybody tells me that one. So yeah, some of these I've never heard of. So very cool.
Yeah, Mutant Message is a very powerful story, man. It's going to open you up to this idea of these other possibilities that are available to us. Once we open our mind a bit more, we can start to understand how energetics can change, the metaphysics can change physics.
Yep. Awesome stuff. Last two questions, we'll wrap it up. Are there any rituals that you do on like on a regular basis, if it's gratitude journaling or meditation or
Yeah. When I lay my head down at night, I make a couple sayings that I say to myself. And I say, body, feel all the love in the heart of the universe. And I say that 9 times before I go to sleep. Body, feel all the love in the heart of the universe. Body, feel all the love in the heart of the universe. And I go to sleep in that frequency because for me, I want to bake. While I'm sleeping for 6 or 7 or 5 or 4, how many hours I sleep, I want to be laying in a frequency. And most humans never set up their sleep. And because they don't set up their sleep, they wake up tired. So I always give my sleep a focus. That's my ritual. I give my sleep a focus.
Yeah, so
And
good.
look, I'm going to be 56 years old, man. You know what I mean? Like, I pretty much think I'm going to look the same when I'm 60. Okay, might have a few more gray hairs, but because I'm restoring so deeply, I'm aging so slowly, which is giving me more lifetime to create more impact.
Yeah. Man, amazing stuff. Last but not least, Christopher Lee Mayer. Where can people find you, connect with you, learn more about you and everything that you're up to?
They can go to truebodyintelligence.com. As when they get on the homepage, I wrote a book called Free for Life, a U.S. Navy SEAL's Unique Path to Inner Freedom and Outer Peace. Order the book, read it, get in the vibe, and then find me, and I will help you grow in every way that you desire to grow if that's what you really want.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. Amazing. Thank you for this interview. I appreciate you, and I look forward to following what you're going to be up to in the future. It's going to be great.
Oh, awesome, man. This has been a great interview.